Hi, and welcome to Cryptobiography. I'm your host, Brandon Starr. This is episode 354 of Cryptobiography, and it is the compilation, the entire story of Windows and Walls. And here we go.
Gregory woke up. It was 3 days before his 18th birthday. 3 days before decision day, computer said. It had clearly noticed him waking. Gregory could smell breakfast starting to cook in the other room. It was one of his favorites, as always. Rye bread, slightly toasted, eggs over medium, and the smoky black pepper sausage that he had almost every other day. Computer had figured out how often he could have his favorites without becoming tired of them. The toast and the eggs varied, but Gregory really loved that particular sausage. "Thanks, Computer," he said. "What's the course today?" "History," Computer replied. The voice came from somewhere above, soft and pleasant. "We will learn more about the period before the transition." "You mean I will," Gregory said, smiling. He knew that whatever he would be taught, Computer already had the information. "Indeed, but I always feel like I too am learning while you learn, Gregory," Computer said. "I suppose that's true," Gregory said. "If you want to learn something better, teach it." "Well said," Computer replied. "Clothes are ready." Gregory opened the closet door. The inside of the closet, to all appearances, was only half a meter deep, but different items were there depending on what he needed. Now it had a stack of warm, dry, and clearly freshly folded clothes, exactly what he needed to get dressed. He pulled on the soft shirt and light sweater, underwear and soft track pants, and socks that came up to mid-calf. Of course, Computer could keep the room a couple of degrees warmer, and he could then go without sweaters, but he preferred a cool room. Computer agreed, but then Computer usually agreed with Gregory's choices. The room was a variable space. Usually it was laid out with a few rooms having different uses, but it could, and Gregory had seen this, have all the interior walls removed and become a large, squarish space for exercise or any other purpose. Most of the walls, permanent or mobile, were also screens. Gregory stretched and went to the kitchen. His food was already on its plate, still steaming. "Smells good, thanks," Gregory said. "You're welcome," Computer replied. Gregory took a bite of toast and brought the plate over to the table. The screen was lit up with a window and a view of a green field, grass waving in the breeze. "How's the weather out today, Computer?" Gregory asked. "Very pleasant," Computer replied. "Would you like a simulation?" "Not just now, thanks. I'd rather finish my breakfast." He took another bite. Computer had learned exactly how he liked everything seasoned. It was perfect. "Certainly," Computer said. "There have been 2 new allergens and 1 new virus detected. We will have to expose you after breakfast." Gregory sighed. "I suppose it is necessary." "It is," Computer said. It sounded sad, as though it were genuinely unhappy to have to cause Gregory any discomfort. When Gregory had finished breakfast and the dishes had disappeared into the walls, an arm extended up from the floor. "Exposure time," Computer said. "Fine," Gregory said. He turned his shoulder slightly toward the arm, which was extending a small hypodermic needle. He could barely feel it. "Not bad, Computer," Gregory said. "You must have missed the nerves." "I am glad, Gregory," Computer said. "Would you like to experience orgasm now?" "Sure," Gregory said. He got up, stretched, and walked down the hall. It was as good as it always was, holding the sex pillow, clean and warm, while the erotic images he preferred played on all the surfaces around him. They looked rather soft and curved, rather like the pillow itself. He sometimes wondered what the difference would be. Soon he was done, and he walked back to the kitchen. He usually had a cup of tea this time of day. "Ready for your lesson?" Computer asked. "Sure," Gregory said. He took his tea and went to the learning room. The soft chair reclined for him, and various screens started playing on the walls and ceiling. This was ancient history, but Gregory was always interested in it. So many people living without the technology that made life so enjoyable. Instead, they scratched out a living, for the most part, spending the vast majority of any day on ways to earn more credit so they could have food, water, shelter, perhaps entertainment. What was the word? Money, he reminded himself. Strange concept. That there could be a universal medium by which everything would be valued. It certainly shaped the societies that used it. Even people, he had learned, were valued against money. In the truly old and barbaric days, people themselves, their whole lives, were bought and sold to other people who controlled them. Slavery. Later, people sold their own lives, hour by hour or by some other arrangement, and received money for it. How much, apparently, varied depending on the work. He'd asked Computer endlessly about this when he'd first learned of it. He'd learned that there were people who did almost all the actions that Computer now took care of, and they would have each been paid, and paid different amounts. There would have been people to prepare food, people to bring food, people to clean, people to keep the screens on, people to provide the information that showed on the screens. What about people to give orgasms? Great-Great asked. That, apparently, was generally not allowed to be bought or sold. There were exceptions, but usually people gave orgasms to each other for no consideration. That seemed strange to Gregory. But that's one of the best parts of the day, Gregory had objected. Why would that be the one part that could not be purchased? The computer had tried to explain that orgasms were considered part of certain societal bonds, and that society generally felt that orgasms should come voluntarily and without the profit motive. Gregory wasn't sure he believed Computer, though he'd never known Computer to lie. The explanation seemed lacking, somehow. But Computer had explained it to the best of its knowledge, so eventually he stopped asking and put it in his brain in the unsolved category. The unsolved questions were rare, but they'd always interested Gregory more than any of the subjects that Computer could fully describe. What are the three main reasons our current society differs from pre-decision society? Computer asked. Children were raised by their biological... Gregory said, but couldn't think of the word. Parents, Computer supplied. Yes. And? Technology had not advanced sufficiently to allow money to be phased out, Gregory continued. True, Computer said. And everyone, with rare exceptions, was forced to contact other people, even if they didn't want to, Gregory finished. Yes, Computer said. There were a few who separated themselves completely, called hermits. But typically people were not allowed to decide whether they wanted to meet other people or not. Even though it was only a few days away, Gregory had not come to his decision for decision day. Some of the time, he liked to think about meeting other people in person. He was allowed to connect, via sound only. He had seen plenty of videos, knew the vast range of looks, shapes, and sizes that people could take. A big part of him was curious to meet some of them, see them face to face. But another part was still scared. He could stay in his room, of course. That was the other decision. Many people decided not to come out into society, but instead stayed in their rooms and experienced life through the screens of the various walls. It was a simple, happy life, or so he understood it. And then there was Rebecca. Rebecca was almost exactly the same age as he was. She would have her decision day tomorrow. He thought he knew what she would choose, but couldn't be sure. He had heard of stories of many people changing their minds on decision day. Rebecca had brought out a lot of fantasies in Gregory. She had a great voice, and they tried to describe themselves to each other as best they could. In his mind, she was as beautiful as any of the women on the screens. He wondered if she would find him as handsome as the men on the screens. He could see himself in the screens when he wanted, so he knew what he looked like. It wasn't really like anyone else he had seen. Everyone had such nice brown skin and dark eyes and hair. He had pale skin, with hair that was lighter than brown, but not quite blonde. All the blonde women he saw on the screens were that way by dyeing their hair, and they had been rare. He couldn't remember any blonde-haired men, and hardly anyone had blue eyes. He'd admitted all this to Rebecca during their talks, but she had assured him that it didn't matter to her. "I don't think that sort of thing is important," Rebecca said. "The question is, what sort of person are you?" "I think you're the sort of person I could like." He'd agreed. Still, she had described her long, slightly wavy black hair and her skin the color of a cup of coffee with a teaspoon of milk in it. And it made him wonder if she would end up preferring someone more like her, someone more normal. Of course, Gregory had, after hearing her description and despite his fears, gotten a cup of coffee and added the teaspoon of milk so he could picture the precise color in his mind. He thought it was exactly right. It didn't seem to surprise Computer at all when, at the next meal, he asked for a coffee with one teaspoon of milk in it. When he went back to the screens, he asked for it to be fully three-dimensional. All the images popped out of the screens at him. He asked Computer to put aside the lessons and instead show him what people were like. He watched them walking, talking, sometimes holding hands or having sex, other times arguing or even fighting. He had known that people fought, of course. He had even fought with Computer, a little, but it never went anywhere because you couldn't get Computer to fight back with you. It was like fighting a rubber wall. You would only exhaust yourself trying. It hadn't taken too long before Gregory, as a child, had realized this and stopped trying to fight Computer. But he had seen shows and historical programs and knew that people fought. But he had seen them fight over matters of great importance, wars, crime, ideology. This was different. He saw that people sometimes fought for no good reason, perhaps just to be fighting. He wondered if somehow they enjoyed it, though the looks on their faces as they fought didn't make it seem so. The three-dimensional videos let him walk among them. He could almost reach out and touch them, though it always disturbed the image when he tried, and he never felt anything. He asked for images of people just touching. He walked among them, too, watching them hold hands, hug, kiss, or have sex. He wondered what touching another person would be like. It would be very strange. He held out one hand and touched his other forearm. But no matter how hard he tried to imagine it, he could still feel the skin back with the part he was touching. To touch someone and not immediately feel the touch. Would it be like the orgasm pillow, but with a person? Or better? Worse? He wondered if he could handle being around another person. This, he thought, might be the reason some people decided to not experience the outside world on decision day. Being alone was comforting. Being with others would be disturbing. But also, he thought, it would be exciting and interesting. The next day was 2 days away from decision day. Gregory spent a lot of this day just trying and mostly failing to put decision day and Rebecca out of his head. He studied hard, watched entertainment, and had as many orgasms as he could handle. The only real moment of interest came when Rebecca had called. He was just finishing lunch. Her voice filled the room, soft and warm, and he smiled as he answered, but with surprise. "Rebecca, this is your decision day. I thought you wouldn't be calling," he said. "I'm told that I can wait until evening, 6 p.m., but I could have done it early this morning," she said. "So why did you put it off?" Gregory asked. "Because I hadn't made my decision yet," she replied. She paused, and Gregory looked down at the cup of coffee in his hands. It, of course, had been colored according to her description, but he'd also added some sugar because he thought of her as sweet, and it didn't affect the color of the coffee. "Why not?" he asked, trying to keep his tone neutral. "Because I wasn't sure," she said, "but now I am. I hope to meet you, outside, but just in case I don't, I wanted to talk to you one more time." People who had made their decision to go to the outside were not allowed to talk to those who had not yet decided, or to those who had decided to remain inside. She paused, but Gregory didn't know what to say. She resumed. If you decide to remain inside, that's okay, she said. I thought about that too. I'm not only going outside to meet you. I want to see the world. What it's like to walk around, what it's like to see people, have them see me, touch each other. It feels right. Right for me. I hope it feels right for you too, and if you do decide to come outside, don't make it just because of me. I wouldn't, Gregory said, hesitating. Good. Don't. Do it for your own reasons, because you want to see the world. I've enjoyed talking with you, learning about you, but I think we both know that it may or may not work for us on the outside. And it doesn't have to. There are a lot of people out there. If we don't work out, there's a world of possibility, okay? Okay, Gregory said. I hope to see you outside, Rebecca said, but if not, I won't be upset. If I don't see you, she said, it was nice knowing you. Before Gregory could think of what to say, she had disconnected. He was at first inclined to be angry at himself for not saying something honest, something clever, anything at all. Then he realized he couldn't be angry, because he wasn't sure what he should have said. Even after giving it a long thought, he didn't know what he should have said to her. He watched the clock. She might have made her decision and been forever outside right after their call. Or perhaps that had been her plan to talk to him, let her know she was outside, and then immediately go. But what if it wasn't? What if, despite her words, she still had doubts, had held on until the 6 p.m. deadline? What if, he wondered, as the clock slunk toward that hour, she decided, in the end, to stay inside? Everyone had fears about going outside, or so he understood. What if she changed her mind? She wouldn't be able to contact him after her decision. What if he went outside in 2 days and she wasn't there? Would it be worth it to leave the comfort and safety of computer and the inside? Or without Rebecca, would it just be a wretched world, gray and lonely? He watched the clock as it rolled past 6 p.m. and knew that, one way or the other, Rebecca had made her decision. And now, more than ever, he would be forced to think about his. He hardly slept that night. His mind was turning round and round and would not let him rest. He thought of going to the orgasm room or just taking care of it himself. He'd successfully done that before, but it just didn't interest him. The unknowns were too great. If he stayed inside, he would, in the future, be able to contact others who stayed inside. He could even see them visually, not just hear their voices. If Rebecca stayed inside, he would be able to see her. But he didn't think it likely. He felt it more likely that she had, in fact, followed what she had laid out and chosen the outside. That meant if he stayed inside, he would never be able to see her again. If he chose outside, then he could see her, and could also be with her, touch her even, if she too chose outside. She would never see her again if he was outside and she chose to stay inside. Because of that, he decided, he must figure out whether he really wanted to be outside beyond anything to do with Rebecca. Inside, he was safe, secure, and stimulated. And he would be all his life. Outside, things were not so sure. There were diseases. There were problems. There were difficulties. He thought of them as having a capital D. Death, disease, decay. But outside is where people were, and beyond Rebecca, Gregory found himself wondering about other people. What would it be like to talk with them, not just one-on-one, and not just by voice, but right in front of other people, and possibly in groups? What would he like to smell the dirt, the grass, the trees? He'd learned that all of these had distinct smells. Would any of them smell like his coffee, his food, his armpits after exercise, his shit? Or would they be new smells? How many smells were there? What would Rebecca smell like? And a part of him, a tiny part of him, was wondering if all of it was a lie. Perhaps inside was the only good place. Perhaps all the scenes he had seen on all the screens, all the amazing places and wonderful vistas were made up. Perhaps outside was just a wasteland or a desert. Or, contrarily, perhaps this was all a test. Perhaps those who chose to be outside and are allowed to live to meet with other people. Perhaps they put their resources into the inside just for the young people. If they grow up and don't want to join society, then what? Perhaps they're killed. Perhaps there was a reason he had never talked directly to someone over 18, someone who had chosen inside. Perhaps it was not simply against the rules. Perhaps they were all dead. It struck him how naive he was. He really had no way of telling what the outside world would be like. How could he have taken so long to think of these options? He wondered if that would be the worst. If he chose outside and Rebecca chose inside and was killed, would he even know? Would he be allowed to know? He'd always been told that those who had chosen inside could only ever communicate with others who had chosen inside. But could those who chose outside learn the fates of their insider friends? Then another, even worse thought came to him. Worse than if he ended up living in an outside wasteland with or without Rebecca. What if outside was exactly as it had been presented, and he just wasn't ready for it? What if he chose something that would lead immediately to him failing, falling, perhaps dying? What then? Was in fact anything that happened inside truly preparing him for what was to come outside? And if not, why was this done? Why keep the children away from everyone else? What purpose could it hold? In the end, he told himself what his decision would be, and that was just enough for him to get a little sleep. That morning, he was awakened a little later than usual by computer. "I could tell you didn't sleep well," computer said. "You can make the decision any time you like." Gregory nodded his head, but did not reply. He ate breakfast in a fog, not really tasting it. "Is there anything I can do to make you more comfortable?" computer asked. Gregory just shook his head no. It was nearly noon before he'd even come close to giving an answer. He knew, from being told long ago, that he only had to inform computer of his decision, and that would be that. But though he had made his decision last night, he found it hard to commit to today. He thought of his options. Was it better to choose what he knew, even if it meant not really experiencing the world? Or would it be better to take a chance? He was walking around aimlessly and ended up in the orgasm room. He looked at the pillow. It was clean and soft, just as it always was. "Not enough," Gregory said. "Clean and soft isn't enough." He lifted his voice. "Computer," he said, "my decision is to go outside." "Very well, Gregory," computer said. "I have enjoyed serving you. Please walk down the hall to your right." Gregory walked, and there was a door on the left side at the end of the hall. It had never been there before. The interior walls changed, but the exterior ones did not. Now, there was a door there. It must have been there the whole time, he thought. I wonder how I never saw it before, or any hint of it. The door slid open when he approached. It was early afternoon outside, and the weather seemed to be fine. He didn't detect any special heat or cold as he approached. The light seemed very bright to him, and he squinted a bit. The door opened, not directly outside, but to a hall. Gregory imagined that some of computer's tools must be on the other side of the walls. He had been living in a box inside a box. The light fell at an angle inside the hallway. He stopped just before his feet reached the rays. He bent down and slowly put his hand out into the sunlight. "This is the first real sunlight I've ever felt or seen," he thought. It was warm. It surprised him. Light wasn't warm in his experience. It felt good, though. He remembered computer had said that sunlight, though healthy in small doses, should be not stayed in indefinitely. He assumed this meant he had some time. He stood back up and took his first step into the sunlight. A few steps more, and he was at the end of the hallway. One more step, and he would be outside forever. He could have looked back. Part of him wanted to look back. But there wasn't anything for him back there, so he just stepped outside. He stepped onto a small concrete slab. In front of him was a lawn. Looking around, he saw that his inside, his computer, was one building along a line of similar buildings that made up a rough square. There were a few gaps that led someplace he didn't know. There were perhaps a dozen buildings on each side. The square was quite large. Perhaps, he thought, looking at the clear sky and the buildings around him, we are brought outside here so that for the moment we can still experience having walls around us, so we don't panic at the sheer size of outside. And as though he had a blind spot that hadn't allowed him to see it before, he now saw that there were two people, roughly in the middle of the lawn. A lawn that smelled unlike anything he'd ever smelled before, and part of him relished it. But his attention was focused on the people. One was a man, tall and thin, wearing what Gregory understood was a formal suit. He held a tablet in his hand. The other was a woman, dark-skinned, with long, wavy, black hair. Rebecca? He hadn't even known that he said it aloud, but in the quiet, enclosed, if large, space it had carried. Gregory, Rebecca said. Yes, it's me. Gregory started forward, but the world seemed to upend around him. He felt dizzy. Just knowing that he was looking directly at another human being, two of them, really, and one of them, Rebecca, was enough to cause him a slight vertigo. The man held Rebecca back with a touch on her arm and said something Gregory couldn't hear. They advanced on Gregory, but at an unhurried pace. Gregory started forward. The first few steps were as awkward as a newborn fawn's, so even though every instinct was shouting in him to run forward, he pulled himself upright and took a medium pace. They stopped, only a meter or so from each other. The man had held up a hand, and by silent agreement, everyone had stopped. Gregory, the man said, and Gregory took a good look at him for the first time. His hair was pulled straight back over his head and seemed plastered to it. He had dark eyes, slightly sunken, and a medium complexion, roughly halfway between him and Rebecca's. Between his and Rebecca's. Gregory, the man repeated, seeing that Gregory had been distracted, we're all very happy that you chose to come outside with us. In order to keep the transition from being overwhelming, we like to meet new outsiders with no more than three greeters. As Rebecca requested to be your greeter, I came along simply to be a more experienced hand, so a more experienced hand could be here. At first. I'll shortly leave you two alone to talk. But first, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Gregory said.
His head had mostly cleared, though the end of the adrenaline rush was still affecting him. Any initial questions about being outside? The man asked.
Mostly questions for Rebecca, Gregory said.
The man smiled. Very well, he said. I'll leave you two alone. Back in a while, or give a shout if you want me. He gave a small nod, turned, and walked away. Gregory now looked at Rebecca, who looked back. They were each drinking in all about the details about each other. Gregory saw her pointed nose, her wide jawline, and her large, expressive, almost black eyes. She looked at him, and he imagined her looking at his pale face, his occasional freckles, and his mousy hair. Though he was nervous, he saw that she was smiling. "It's great to see you," Rebecca said. She held out her hands, palms down. Gregory's breath hitched a little, and he held out his hands, taking hers in his own. It was the strangest feeling he had ever experienced. Her hands were warm, not cold like plastic, but soft. He could tell that she felt his hands in hers as well, but while he could feel her hands, it was unlike touching his own skin. His mind was doing turns trying to understand how skin could be felt but not feel. And he decided that he liked it.
And that's the story. Thank you for listening. If you have any comments or questions about this episode or previous episodes, cryptobiography@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook, X, or Mastodon. And thank you again. Words and Music copyright 2024, Brandon Starr, all rights reserved. If you comment, characters and events are fictional, fictionalized, or satirical.